Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got
five on it. Wait, Gary Harris is now on the Bucks too?
That's what I just told you.
Who are the Bucks now? It's Giannis, it's Miles Turner, Gary Harris. This is a totally different team.
They're a bunch of guys who can probably win the East if Giannis has an MVP-type season. And the supporting role players do their jobs.
Interesting.
While the Bulls middle.
Would you like to hear what the Kings did?
Yes.
Would you like to hear about something involving Dario Saric?
Can we call the Kings Bulls West? Are we allowed to do that yet?
The Kings are trading Jonas Valanciunas to the Nuggets for Dario Saric, according to Shams.
Are the Kings Bulls too? They could be Bulls too.
Did you see that they got a point guard also?
No, I can't keep up with all the news. Free agent guard Dennis Schroeder has agreed to a 3-year, $45 million deal with the Sacramento Kings, sources tell ESPN. Our friend Mark Bartlestein of Priority Sports.
You have to ask yourself, are you cool with the Bulls just kind of sitting it out? We know who all their position players are going to be. We know what they're going to be.
Well, we assume Giddy is signing with the Bulls. He really has nowhere else to go.
I agree with that statement. If he does go somewhere else, it will be very interesting what haul they get back.
Man, if the Bulls don't, that's what we need to examine in an upcoming topic. We need to do the thought exercise of what happens if Josh Giddey isn't a Bull next season.
Sign and trade.
That's when things get crazy.
Number one. With the division rival Cardinals on deck this 4th of July weekend, what do the Cubs need to accomplish in their three-game series with the Guardians, which begins today at Wrigley Field?
Well, you heard how I went on this diatribe about how I hate being shut out. I hate shutouts, unless you're the team shutting out the other team like they did against the Cardinals. So do that. Do the thing you did in the two games to finish out your series against St. Louis, where they won 8-0 and 3-0. You know why? Because one was a whoopin', and Jed Hoyer loves those, where the run differential is over 5, and the other one was just savvy. You know, sometimes you want your stopper, a.k.a. Shota Imanaga, or in today's case, Matt Boyd, to come in and do his thing. And then you're like, hey, here's our bullpen. Did you want to do more? You want to try to get more hits? No. You want to try to get those hits to like be not only on base, but then cross home plate? No, not happening. Some combination of Thielbar, Keller, Pomeranz, Palencia, Ken Pomflex. Get it done. Also, the bench needs to have more hits in pinch hitting situations. The end.
I thought you were done, but I didn't know the end was coming. My bad.
I just panic yelled that at the end of my exclamation.
Okay, so the Cubs, right?
They're P.S.
back.
No,
they're back
I'm
home. They're back home, and they have 6 games this week: 3 against the Guardians, 3 against the Cardinals. I'm going to just apply what I said at the start of the season, what I say at the start of any baseball season, what I say in the middle of any baseball season: when you are at home, win the series. When you are on the road, go 500. Now, the Bulls are only 25-15 at home this season, which means they're not winning 4 out of every 6 games. They're winning 3 out of every 5 games. That's not a high enough rate at home.
No, it's not. You're right.
But the Bulls are not a 500 team on the road either. They're 24-20 away from Wrigley Field. Here's why that's important. Take the 4 wins away. You're 20-20 on the road. And add them to your home record. You're 29-15. That's just one away from being what? A team that wins 2 out of every 3 games at home. So they're doing okay. They just need to win 2 out of 3 against the Guardians and then win 2 out of 3 against the Cardinals.
You know, if you took my 75% chance.
Yes.
I'm not going to quote Steiner math right now.
But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we used to go one-on-one.
Look, the Cubs are fine. They have a 2-game lead in the Central. And I promise you this, if they win all their home series and they go 500 on the road, they will win the division.
You make it sound so easy, but we know it's not.
Number two. The Bulls traded guard Lonzo Ball to the Cavaliers over the weekend and then signed guard Trey Jones to a 3-year, $24 million deal at the start of Trey Jones.
Who?
Trey Jones.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right, a 3-year, $24 million deal at the start of free agency for Trey Jones on Monday.
Jones!
With it being a foregone conclusion that Josh Giddey will sign a new deal to return to the Bulls, and you guys threw the wrinkle in it at the beginning of the segment. What, there's a sign and trade possibly in play for Giddey? You never know.
No, it's not happening. Okay. Arturis has told us exactly what is going to happen. Well, Mark Eversley reemphasized exactly who is going to be on this roster to start next season.
They've bet on their message.
Well, if the Bulls front office is going to indeed look at Josh Giddey as the guard of the future, here's the question. Which of the Bulls' remaining guards is most likely to be the odd man out on the Bulls' roster? Kobe White or Ayo Dosunmu?
It's the side for me.
I know. I'm so sad about it. I'm just sad. I think both of them are fantastic in their own rights. And I unfortunately think sometimes it comes down to who's whose guy situation. And they drafted Ayo. And they did not draft Kobe. And Kobe's price has gone up because also in popular culture terms, yesterday's price is not today's price with Kobe White. And
yesterday's price is not today's price.
The man says it well, but he also explains the truth. And that is the case for Kobe White. And as we've illustrated, the Bulls don't have a lot of flexibility under that cap, man. So unfortunately, based on those two things, I think it is probably pains me to say it, Kobe.
As far as who will be here, not sure. As far as who should be moved, but this doesn't matter because it's Arturis Karnišovas, so what should happen is not going to happen. But it should be Kobe White because you can get more back for Kobe White. You should trade Kobe White. Is Kobe White going to be here when Matas and Noah Essengay have reached their potential?
That's the question. And as I saw Deborah Cox perform two Sundays ago, nobody's supposed to be here.
How did we get here? Well, I know how we got here. You didn't want to make trades for future draft compensation. I'll say this. Both those guys fall under your yesterday's price is not today's price. Because Kobe White scheduled to make, what, $24 million next year? Or, no, he's scheduled to make $12 million next year. $13 million, basically, next year. And then Ayo scheduled to make $7.5 million. I think both those guys will get more on the free agent market than they're currently making. Problem is they both become free agents. So you got to move one of them.
You know,
if not both.
In the vein of Trey Jones getting signed and our Mike Jones recall and Josh Giddey being brought up, he is the best example, perhaps, of back then the Thunder didn't want him. But now he's hot and the Bulls are all on him.
Except for it's not I'm the just saying, same people. That's the whole point.
That's why we remix it.
Okay, because you remixed to the remix to the remix on that one.
Look who's creeping and crawling and balling in the mix.
Wow. We really...
We can't sing the rest of that song on the radio.
We've taken the Mike Jones lyrics to their extreme and also to their limit.
This segment is called Five on It, and we turn it into sports talk. Yeah. I rest my case.
Okay, you have a point there.
I've said that twice today.
You have a point there. But seriously, I think Ayo Dosunmu is more likely to be moved, although Kobe White should be more likely to be moved.
Number 3.
Five on It continues with Raheem Harris on 670 The Score with this question. What was your favorite move on day one of NBA free agency? Which move did you find to be the most perplexing?
Now it's Marshall's turn to sigh.
No, I'm not. Aww. I'm not sighing like in the way that you think I am. I just think, oh man, when you look at the way the East has kind of fallen to this, whoever wants it can go get it, right?
Baby.
I think there's a lot of things that you can look at. I don't want to be alarmist on here, but I'm going to be a little bit alarmist.
Yeah.
Here. I really like the fact that the Pistons were able to...
Go on.
...twist what was a bad situation with Malik Beasley, who apparently... is had liquidity issues with all that money he's made, and that's what ended up getting him to this central figure of an investigation by the FBI and a gambling probe.
That doesn't sound like it turned out well for him. This didn't end well.
And so the Pistons did something I don't know that the Bulls are capable of, which is they pivoted. They went out and they got Caris LeVert on a 2-year, $29 million deal, in addition to signing Paul Reed, but I think that was today, actually, B-ball Paul. I like their ability to pivot. And it's just another reminder within the division that other teams seem to know what they're doing. As I said last night on our text thread, The Bulls are playing checkers and everyone else is playing chess, except for I'm wrong. The Bulls are playing Connect Four and everybody's playing chess, except for them.
Connect Four is fun when you play it in the giant Connect Four.
Yeah, I know, like out back in the backyard, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, on the back patio.
Any of those combos?
Yeah.
Everybody probably thinks that I would say D'Angelo Russell because he went to the Mavs on a 2-year, $13 million deal, and I thought it was savvy. I did. I'll stay in the Western Conference, though. I think it might be akin to my original report, if you'll recall, Luke Kornet going to the San Antonio Spurs. They're like, we're going to see you and raise you with our bigs. We're going to make them multifaceted. We're going to give that man 4 years and $41 million. Well, who's laughing now? Luke Kornet. But you can see there really is an emphasis on the bigs right now and the market they're in. Hint. But westward.
But the bigs that you're talking about, they all do something that the Bulls' bigs do not.
The multifaceted bigs, as in Capella, for example. Clint Capella goes to the Rockets, back to his original team for 3 years, $21.5 million. But to value Luke Kornet at 4 years and 41 with the Spurs?
He protects the rim, Layla.
The Spurs are building something.
The Bulls' big does not protect the rim. Vooch is not a rim protector.
And even shout out to Luka Garza. Luka Garza got money. Luka Garza got 2 years and $5.5 million. I remember on this show in this time slot hearing about how he wasn't an NBA guy. Look at that.
He's an NBA guy. He's a fringe NBA guy. How much money is he getting per year?
My predecessor was very anti-Luka Garza in the NBA. And I was like, I don't know. I think he's got something. Just saying that because I watched Iowa.
Why does he hate college stars who go to the NBA? Your predecessor.
Many, many, many reasons. I apologize.
As far as perplexing, I don't know that anything has stuck out. Like I expected the Bulls to have the most perplexing deal, honestly, but they surprised me and had a relatively good day.
I just talked about the ones I liked. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I asked this question because I thought that both of you guys would have something to say about those Sacramento Kings on the perplexing portion of the answer.
Oh, so like this could be today. I thought it was only yesterday.
It could be anything.
Did I think in 2025 that somebody would be trading for Dario Saric aggressively? No, I did not.
I'll say this. I don't know what they're doing in Sacramento, but I do think they are on the same, as far as I can tell so far, they're going to have the same problems the Bulls have. And when I say the Bulls have, I meant Bulls had, when they had two guys on the roster that did not fit well with the other pieces. Domantas Sabonis, Dennis Schroeder, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan. I don't understand how that's going to work on either end of the court. Either end of the court.
I also just want to give credit. I don't remember the user's name. I saw somebody tweet yesterday that Luke Kornet, by going to the Spurs, is now officially entering the Robert Horry arc.
Believe it or not, Jim Boylan said that he reminds him of Robert Horry. Oh, it happened. He said it on camera in front of multiple cameras. We were trying to figure out why he was getting more minutes than Daniel Gafford at the time, a noted rim protector.
To complete the Robert Horry arc, if we're just going to say at least the Robert Horry arc is just being on the same teams as Robert Horry, he's going to have to make his way to the Lakers, the Suns, and the Rockets at some point.
Do you know the meltdown I had when I found out that Robert Horry had heard of the report? I still can't talk about it without
Robert
having
Horry
a meltdown.
Very upset and insulted. He was not happy with that comparison.
It was Jim Boylan who said it. When a coach says it, you have to repeat what the coach says. I didn't say it.
More than just coach speech.
Number four.
Yesterday, the Dolphins sent cornerback Jalen Ramsey, tight end Jonnu Smith, and a 2027 seventh-round pick to the Steelers in exchange for safety Minka Fitzpatrick and a 2027 fifth-round pick. Miami is now in conversations with multiple teams about trading for a tight end, according to NFL media. Today, according to Adam Schefter, Miami traded a conditional 2026 sixth-round pick to the Giants for a 2027 seventh-round pick and Darren Waller. Waller is coming out of retirement after agreeing to a one-year deal with the Dolphins worth up to $5 million. What do you think of these moves?
Okay, I know we don't have a ton of time for the next two questions, but I have a two-pronged thought process here.
I'm listening. I'm here for it.
Prong number one. those who were wondering if that meant that Cole Kmet might move weren't as wild as they may have thought. Because when new coaches come in, even though a general manager who hired both coaches at the time, the previous head coach and the current one, a la Bulls, the new head coach might say, hey, this guy doesn't fit in with my scheme as well. And you see a lot of people who you thought were made men suddenly out of town. So I thought, you know what? Cole Kmet is appreciated here. Doesn't necessarily mean that he is a perfect fit. So I didn't think it was so far-fetched. But prong number two was Darren Waller unretired to answer that question as to how the Dolphins were going to address this.
As long as he doesn't make a music video, I'm good with him. He made a music video once.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
You don't have to.
You haven't seen it,
so
right?
So I shouldn't Google Darren Waller music video.
No,
right
don't Google that, and don't Google Darren Waller Kelsey Plum either.
That was a music video. I just thought of it as like a confession of sorts. I forgot about the music part of that.
Also, apologize to 773. Apparently, I referred to the Bulls as the Cubs twice by accident while we were talking about that.
It is really hard when news from multiple leagues are happening at the same time. Because my brain does shift gears. It's like baseball brain. Here are your baseball names. And then it's like, oh, the NFL is back in the conversation. Your baseball names are not going to get mixed in with your basketball names. You feel me? That was all a bunch of things together. My brain has no sense making right now.
Number five.
No, Marshall didn't even answer.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
It's okay. I'll say this. I think the Steelers' floor is 9-8. I think the Steelers' ceiling is Super Bowl. All right.
See, I was right to move on.
Number five.
I actually think he's closer to that argument after the trade was made. Like that you, I thought about you immediately.
Arthur Smith loves him some Janu. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I value Minka Fitzpatrick, though.
Okay.
In honor of EA Sports announcing yesterday that they're bringing back their college basketball game a year after they brought back the college football game, which that college football game is awesome. I recommend it. The question is, the last question of Five on It with Rahimi and Harris, what's your favorite sports video game?
Mine is easy. It's very easy. Mine is 10 Yard Fight. The original football game on Nintendo Entertainment System, the 8-bit version. 10 Yard Fight is where I developed my love for football. Tecmo Super Bowl is where I perfected my love of playing football video games.
Ooh.
But you never forget your first love, 10 Yard Fight.
My first love was Tecmo Bowl.
Okay.
So I think because of that, that is when you're growing up and your dad moved in from Iran and doesn't love football the way you do, you don't necessarily get the same sports influences growing up, but then you love sports because you're surrounded by it. Then I'm like, how am I going to get better at learning how to draw up plays? As one tends to ask themselves, you know, as a junior high kid. That's definitely on my mind at the time. Tecmo Bowl entered the picture. So we play Tecmo Bowl growing up. Now, was that the timelines don't add up? That was a much older game based on my age, but that's what we had, and that's how I learned. I learned from there, and then I talked to high school football coaches who helped me out, and that's how I became better at football. And Summer All in Madden, and that's who taught me football.
Shout out to the O'Bannon brothers for getting that whole lawsuit sorted away, so now all the kids get paid.
See, I love video games. Sports video games is exclusively what I play. You guys had great answers, but this one's the best one. EA Sports MVP Baseball 2005. I still play it today. It is the best baseball game. It's kind of a reason why I love baseball.
It's not the best baseball game. It's just the one that is closest tied to your nostalgia of childhood video games.
No, it's the best. It's the best. It's
how old were you in 2005?
I was 10.
Like I said,
I still play it. I played it yesterday. I literally, every time I go home, I take my PS2 and I still play it.
Nostalgia is a hell of a drug.
I'm not a big video game guy, but back in the day when I was a kid, it's NFL Blitz for me, dog.
Okay.
NFL Blitz on N64?
I mean, I was up in the arcade doing that thing.
Yeah, it was arcade too.
But yeah, N64 at home, yeah.
Ask me if I, yeah, that was a trance. I just broke out of my trance and knew exactly what video game system that was on.